Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi there, it's Ross here. Just to say, I know the sound quality isn't always that great on our podcast, but on this particular episode, there was a bit of a mess up in the recording. So therefore, it wasn't as easy to remove a lot of the background noises and breathing and echoes and all that kind of stuff. So I've done my best with the audio we got, but just to let you know that if you are a first time listener, it does sound better than this usually. Please bear with us and I hope you can still enjoy it. Thank you for keep listening. We really appreciate it and belated Happy New Year to you all.
How many notes have you got, James?
John, it's the most I've written since I did my master's degree, right?
Look at this. Oh, Jesus. Look. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I got obsessed.
Oh. It's all Zach Bacon's found fiction.
Britain. An ancient kingdom with legends of violence, cruelty, and torment in its blood. Join your hosts, Ross, John, and James, as they bravely tread where few would dare. Witness their journey into the horrific history of British horror. They are the General Witchfinders.
Ladies and gentlemen, goblins and ghouls, welcome back to the 33rd episode of the number one film by history podcast in Finland. And to our Finnish listeners, I say, Turvetuloa. Lower.
Oh,
is what
good.
I say to those guys. That's welcome, apparently. The General Witchfinders podcast. I'm James in Bournemouth in southern England.
I'm John Pountney, 33 and a third in South Wales, which is still in South Wales.
I'm Ross in Dorchester in southern England. And this time we bring you Ghost Adventures from the Ancient Ram Inn.
My name is Zach Bagan. I never believed in ghosts until I came face to face with one.
You wanted us. You got us.
So I set out on a quest to capture what I once saw onto video. With no big camera crews following us around, I am joined only by my fellow investigator Nick Groff and our equipment tech Aaron Goodwin. The three of us will travel to some of the most highly active paranormal locations where we will spend an entire night being locked down from dusk until dawn.
You have reached your final destination. Hell.
Groff. Extreme.
Stop running.
These are our ghost adventures.
Ghost Adventures is an American paranormal and reality, and that should be in inverted commas, television series that premiered on October the 17th, 2008 on the Travel Channel.
Whoa.
Before moving to Discovery Plus in 2021. An independent film of the same name originally aired on the Sci-Fi Channel on July the 25th, 2007. The program follows ghost hunter Zach Bagans, Nick Groff, seasons 1 to 10, Aaron Goodwin, Billy Tolly, and Jay Wolseley as they investigate.
Aaron Goodwin, massive Randall-alike.
We should explain what a Randall-alike is, shouldn't we?
It's people that look like me.
Yeah, there we go.
Early Aaron Goodwin looks like James, but then right. Aaron loses an awful lot of weight. And in the...
That's a backhanded compliment.
But in the later seasons, it just looks like a totally different person, like when Paul McCartney changed in 1967 or 66.
When he died.
Yeah, so it's like they got in a different guy to play Aaron Goodwin, who just looks totally different. But the original Aaron is a bit of a Randall-alike, I've always thought.
Okay. All right. And Jay Wolseley, as they investigate locations that are reported to be haunted. The crew also claims to have recorded spirit possessions on video. Bagans believes, here we go, that he was possessed at the Preston School of Industry and at Pavagilia Island in Italy. Groff claims that he was overtaken by a dark energy, in inverted commas, at the Moon River Brewing Company. Goodwin claims he was under the influence of a dark spirit, but Bobby Mackey's music world.
Yeah, Bobby Mackey's is dark.
Right. And Winchester Mystery House. There have been, and Ross, I'm not sure that the audience needs to know all of these, but there's, all right, come on, okay, here we go. Sorry, everyone, get comfy. There have been a number of Ghost Adventures spin-offs. Ghost Adventures. Semicolon. Aftershocks.
Yeah.
Ghost Adventures. Semicolon. Where are they now? Ghost Adventures. Serial killer spirits. Ghost Adventures. Screaming Room.
Screaming Rooms is good. Yeah, I like that one.
Ghost Adventures. Quarantine. Ghost Adventures. Top 10. Ghost Adventures. House calls. I mean, this just sounds like porn. Not that I wouldn't know, yeah. But you know. Then Paranormal Challenge. And then Deadly Possessions, aka Ghost Adventures Artifacts.
Demon yeah, House. That's a good one.
The Haunted Museum. And then Bagans was born in Washington, D.C. on April the 5th, 1977, making him one of our contemporaries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he should really know better. And raised in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. Sorry, anyone from Illinois, if I've just mangled that horrifically. One of Bagans' more notable claims from the show is his alleged communication with deceased actor David Strickland of NBC's Suddenly Susan. Strickland committed suicide at the Oasis Motel in Las Vegas in 1999. Bagans claims to have recorded Strickland's voice nearly a decade following his death and included this recording in a track on the album Necrofusion.
I don't know any of these facts.
Unsurprisingly, and this will be a theme we'll see tonight, no known scientific analysis has been attempted on the raw recording, including any comparison of the voice heard on the electric voice phenomena recording that to that of the famous actor. He has a tattoo of the number 11, symbolizing his, and Ross has put his apologizes.
Sorry.
I think it's supposed to be his apologies, I guess. Yeah. To a female spirit he mocked while investigating on room N11 of the Silver Queen Hotel, Virginia City, yeah. In 2004.
And she was a sex worker. A ghost sex worker.
Was she a sex worker as a ghost or was before she passed?
Before she passed. Okay. I don't know how. I don't know what the framework is now as a. When, once you've gone beyond the veil, I don't know what
my thoughts immediately went to that bit in Ghostbusters where Freud has a dream about some sexy ghosts.
Yeah, the bit which my kids went, what's happening?
Don't worry about it. Right, okay, so this is what ties it into our actual remit of the podcast to British horror. Just in case anyone's going, what? Right, so in 2009, the team travelled to the UK to investigate the ancient Ram Inn, a Grade 2 listed building and former pub located in Wootton-under-Edge, renowned as one of the most haunted buildings in England.
It was, well, in the top 11, which is a strange number.
Yeah! I thought that'd be awesome. Someone's been crowbarred in, hasn't it?
Okay, so Ghost Adventures is a programme which is often mentioned on this show.
Yes.
As it's one of John's favourite late night viewings, I believe. And I thought there must be a way we can legitimately say this was British horror. And we realised one of your favourite episodes, John, was where they came to the UK.
Well, there's two episodes that would be pertinent. One where they're in Ireland, which I think at a push can be seen as being part of the British Isles.
Yes.
And then there's this episode, which is the one which is the actual. The one that we're doing tonight. So we discovered Zach Bagans in the first lockdown. An episode, if I remember rightly, which was one of the Deadly Possessions episode, where a man who is a Robert De Niro impersonator brings in a gun or something to Zach Bagans' haunted museum, And then I think they have to then go and look at a wall in a museum, which was part of the Valentine's Day massacre or something. So me and Hel were just like, what on earth is this? This is brilliant. And then you had, I think you had the haunted doll. So it's Peggy the doll. So that's how they always refer to the dolls, Peggy the doll. So they had a haunted doll episode, which is amazing, where basically Zach can't help but touch the doll, even though the guy who looks after the doll has said, don't touch the doll. So then we started watching Ghost Adventures really from the beginning. So I don't know if we're completists, but we've watched an awful lot of it since what must be like April 2020. Well, so obviously it's 3 years ago now.
I had to subscribe to Discovery Plus in order to watch this. Mm-hmm. And now I'm quite tempted to go through and watch them all like,
oh, I think all of the early seasons are brilliant. The later seasons get a bit more serious. The early seasons have a very, very good, quite British sense of humor. Yeah. I think Zach particularly has got quite a knowing look to camera, which he exploits in the earlier seasons, which is gone. A lot of it now is like, guys, we're going to Atlanta. A woman has rung us. She says in her house, her son is haunting the hamster, or it'd be something like that. And then they have to go and investigate. The hamster is being, haunted by a demonic shadow figures. So it's an amazing program, but I think in some ways it puts Most Haunted in the shade.
I was gonna say,
lots of ways.
Was it pre Most Haunted or post?
It's post, very much post. So Most Haunted was like 2001 2002, certainly,
because this the editing style is so similar.
Very similar. It is very similar.
So I should mention that, but if you listen to the last episode and we're expecting us to talk about the Dick Turpin special of Most Haunted, which was I suggested we was going to do as a double bill. I didn't realize that was a special that went over like 4 nights or something, and it's been cut down to like several hours on YouTube, which I have watched.
The German movie Decalogue. Which goes on for several days as well.
I'm going to say, it was okay, but the cut I watched didn't even have the Mary Loves Dick bit, which was the whole reason I was watching.
It's mainly
vet building in a wood saying, I'm going to shit myself if anything happens.
Evie.
Does she shit herself or does anything happen?
She gets very, very cold. She needs a wee. And they get lost, and they have to go and send a ranger out to go and find them. The highlight of it is when they finally are allowed back into the studio, and everyone just goes insane, clapping at them.
There's a studio, is there?
Well, because it was a New Year special. It went over like several nights, and you had to vote where you were going to send them.
Wow. Does Sylvester McCoy pop up?
No, unfortunately not.
We should explain for people very, very briefly. That is a deep cut from our 80s childhood. The BBC, as part of their children's BBC programming, did this incredibly ambitious thing where they said, we're going to do a show and we're going to get kids to write it. So here's the first one. Now, you send in your submissions and we'll pick out the best one and we'll make it. For all of us in our febrile child imaginations, we all went mad. Everyone sent something in. Of course, the things that they picked were like the cheapest things.
Someone is trapped in a dungeon.
Exactly.
Or I can't remember. What was it? Was it called What's Your Story?
Or something along those lines. And the Doctor Who, Sylvester McCoy, was the host.
Yes.
This enterprise.
Did he wear dungarees?
Probably. I think he played the spoons as well, didn't he? Probably.
Yeah.
Or did he hammer a nail into his nose or something? I think he was known for doing something like that. But did you not ring up a very similar switchboard to the switchboard that they had in the telecom tower when it was Children in Need?
Yeah.
Well, you might have had the phone answered by Chegwin or Noel Edmonds.
Yeah.
Wearing the top hat.
And I always found it weird that it was the same phone number, like on like
Crime Watch.
That was for like Children in the Need or whatever.
Was it 0818118181?
Yeah.
Something like that. Was
818181? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Or 01 before.
I wonder if it's still an active number with an.
Let's not try.
No. Because we have so much to get through here. Right. So it starts off in the same way that you have an episode of Most Haunted with like fast, flat, flash cuts of what's coming this evening.
Yeah.
Straight away, I was forced to pause it because which member of his team? Is it the one that you think looks like me?
Potentially stood in a barn.
Yes. And to start off with, before you realise it's a barn, it does look like a loft. And he's just sort of shouting, going, "Where are you?" and stuff like that. And what I put is, knowing that this is England, I put that that building, so I put loft, but, you know, barn, will 100% have the following items in it.
Yeah.
Old copies of the Reader's Digest, a copy of the board game Risk or Sabutio, a Moulimex Splendor from the 1970s, Christmas decorations, and some outdated roadmaps from before they built the M25.
Yeah. Biscuit and tins. Finally, Rover biscuit tins.
And evidence of a dark family secret, which I think going on, I was onto something there.
Mm. Yes.
More on that in a second. Yeah.
And then you have the famous read-through. My name is Zach Bagans. I never believed in ghosts until I came face to face with one. No big camera crews following us around, etc. So that's the, I know it off by heart now. And then in later series, as he says something like, some things will never be, understand, we want answers. We have worked years to build our credibility, our reputations. It's the weirdest. It's like seared into my psyche now.
And then we have him then walking towards the camera in the weirdest outfit. He's got such baggy trousers.
Giant trousers on, with a big belt buckle.
Yeah, and like slip-on rubber shoes. And Beck was going, has he got epaulets? Has he got like a embroidered sort of occult symbols on his back? I thought he looked cool, but yeah.
I put that his trousers are utterly voluminous. Yeah. And my immediate thought was, do you remember the conceptual artist Christo?
Yes.
Who once covered I thought if Christo ever wanted to like cover a landmark in some material again, like he did the Arc de Triomphe that time, he could use Zach Bagans.
Bacon's trousers, yeah. The Angel of the North, for instance, could wear them.
Exactly, John. Bang. Right, so he kind of says that, you know, where they are. And I had a quick look, and we'll come back to the location of the ram in a bit. But basically, for all our international listeners, or maybe even our British listeners, where this place is it's north of Bristol, but it's south of Cheltenham in this country. So it's really kind of like middle of no, it's sort of west.
Yes.
I suppose.
Yes.
It's not like fully Gloucester.
No.
It's not fully Fred West country.
I knew what to get a Fred West.
To prove it's Britain, you see some cows and a phone box.
Yes.
And then a close-up of a sign I've written down one of the signs says Haunted Ram and Mortuary with an arrow going in the same direction.
Yeah.
So you know where you are.
Yeah.
And it then cuts to Bagans talking to a man, and I've just put CJ Rover in inverted commas.
Yeah.
He's introduced as a historian.
Yeah. I've looked him up online, and he's basically a LARPer. He's someone who...
CJ Rover, question mark?
Yeah, I think it's cjrober.co.uk. You can go and look at him, some of his reviews of different live-action role-play games he's done. So, not a historian at all.
But
in his own way, no better or really more intelligent than what we are doing here, really,
is it? No, not at all.
He's actually been on Ghost Adventures.
One day you will be. I just love the way Bagans was standing when he was telling the story. It's like, I can't reenact, but it's almost like one arm out, as if like he's going to have to run off and act upon this information at any moment.
Or an opera singer kind of stance.
In a graveyard. And this guy looks so sweaty.
And what he says to Zach Bagans is, he says, it's a rustic little town. And he then says, it's a town that holds secrets. And I put, yeah, just like your laptop.
Yeah.
He looks.
CJ, if you're listening.
CJ,
nothing to do with what James just said.
That's right. You can sue me, but I just thought.
Not CJ Dabooey.
Oh,
There are certain words you can say to James. One day we'll keep him in the right order. We'll kill him.
Oh, I've got a bit dizzy.
Who is CJ Dabui?
He's one of the eggheads.
CJ Dabui.
Do you mean CJ Dabui?
I don't know.
There's a British actor called. Oh, you can't.
Sorry.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Yeah. CJ Dabui.
Sorry. Not his real name.
And he was the guy that got into loads of trouble because he said he killed somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Oh, dear.
Do you know where he lives, CJ Dabui?
Oh, please say Bournemouth.
Wales.
Oh, fantastic.
He currently resides in Wales with his civil partner, Andrew Doran.
Goodness gracious.
Has he met... Has Zach Bacon, to this point, met Mr. Humphreys?
Not yet. Or Rob Holt has Bacon destroyed him.
Because, first of all, Bagans is utterly astonished that the building that he's going to be involved in is over 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
This always happens in ghost adventures.
He's gone to this place with no knowledge whatsoever of where he's going.
Of the British Isles, yeah.
What, this is Stonehenge?
In any episode in America, they'll be like, we're going to a really old, one of the oldest buildings in the town. And then they'll go and the person will be like, when was this built? They'll be like,
5 years old.
1890 or something like that. And it'll be like, mate, I've got my toilet is older than 1890.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, he's astonished to find that parts of the town date from 900 AD or something, isn't it? Yes, yes.
And so we then see Bagans, he turns up at the old Ram Inn, where we are then introduced to some people would say the central protagonist in this story.
the indescribably amazing...
John Humphreys.
In capital letters, juddering Christ. That's a strong look. He's not going gently into the good night, is he? That guy.
No.
Try and describe it for people. He is an elderly gentleman.
It's like someone's dug up Rod Hole. That's basically what he is.
Yeah, Ross. But his long hair seems to have like strata to it. It goes up in like sort of several levels.
It goes in the opposite direction to everyone else's head, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's all been combed over from the back of his head.
And it's dyed ginger.
Yeah, and he's wearing a
leather jacket.
A very tight leather
jacket. I'd call it a patchwork leather jacket, like a biker jacket, which fastens in the manner of the original Star Trek motion picture uniforms.
Yeah. I've got one of these jackets, James.
So it's a diagonal zip from the shoulder, and then he's got his trousers Simon Cowell style,
extremely high.
I'd say the jeans look quite weathered.
I was just going to say
weathered, Cleves. The jeans look quite weathered, and they're basically pulled up to his armpits, aren't they?
Something I noticed, he's got several of these leather jackets around his head.
Yes, that's what I've noted.
Because we're coming up to the mother load in a minute.
Yeah.
And so Zach conducts a preliminary interview with him.
Yeah.
And he says... Do you think if we come and stay in this house, we're going to run into some problems? And his response is, it's rare for someone to not have problems. So I thought it was fighting talk early, straight off the bat.
And before he got him in the door, he told him that he's going to get raped by a succubus.
Exactly.
Because
I know our listeners want us to be as accurate as possible. Journalistic integrity is very, very important to this podcast.
I've noted a lot of the exact words now.
So the quote is, there's something that wakes you in the night wanting to have sex with you. And I've just put, he's got his excuses in early.
Yeah.
For Bagans. It's just
like... Beck said, how horrible it must have been to live in a time where you couldn't have a wet dream without having to sort of say, oh, the devil made me do it. You know? But this, I think that was one of the that point you get, like you said, an excellent Oliver Hardy look to the camera.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I put Bagan is amazed.
Yes.
What?
My favorite line from Humphreys at this point is that there's evil in the house that is equal to God himself. And he delivers that line absolutely straight-faced. Yeah. There is an evil in this house which is almost equal to God himself.
And a mouthful of drink.
Yeah.
And he's about 4 foot 11, this man. And like Fagin's is like a man mountain.
Yeah.
I've got a full disclosure, I think I've got a bit of a man crush on Zach Bagans after watching this.
He's just been so kind to this man.
He's just been so kind and nice.
He is very kind to him, isn't he?
I was going to say, when you were saying, like, in the earlier series, that, like, there's a lot of, like, knowing looks to camera. I thought he really indulges this man and his lifestyle. Huge amount.
Yeah. If you look on TripAdvisor, there's quite a lot of reviews of people who have been to it.
More on that in a second, Ross.
I was going to suggest that we need to look at tickets for this place.
Well, but unfortunately, he died in 2017, I think.
You can still visit Cleves. Yeah. I've looked into
it. But apparently, one of the main things that came up on the reviews on TripAdvisor was the smell of the place. So we'd have to be very... Okay.
Right. Okay, more on that in a second.
Soaked in blood.
And then they go inside, and I've just put, this is an absolute rich tableau of a life. Now, to start off with, I was like, what even is this room that they go into? And we later learn it is his bedroom.
Oh. Well, it's not a bed, is it? It's just like a sofa.
It's a sofa.
It's a sofa. With a quilt on.
Is incredible, dear listener. And I sum it up thus. Here we go. There is a lot going on. There is a second and third leather jacket. Three hanging just up in the room.
Yeah.
This man eschews wardrobes. His clothes are hung up. There is a copy of Dorling Kindersley's book, Battle, on prominent display.
Yeah.
The landline phone, which has just been placed on a chair. And it's
with giant numbers.
Giant numbers.
There's also a copy of Hitler on your doorstep next to his bed.
Underneath the chair, there are two bottles of squash. And then in the background, a massive picture of St. Christopher with a child.
Yeah.
A very low-hanging light fitting. Without any lampshade on it whatsoever.
No lampshades in the house, I noticed.
And I was very dismayed to see that there's some UKIP paraphernalia.
I saw something that said UKIP on it.
And this is the sofa where basically ghosts come and make...
I don't know if you're reading into that, Cleves. He just says that ghosts come and try and have sex with him. He actually says, something wakes you up wanting to have sex with you. And earlier on, he says another great line. It's not just a ghost, it's a host. What does that mean?
I think it means more than one ghost, but it could be a good way of introducing like a game show about ghosts, couldn't it?
It's
not just a ghost, it's your host. The ghost of Bruce Fullside.
Grant from EastEnders, or whatever his name is, because he's got a game show now, hasn't he? Not Russell, what's his name?
Ross Kemp.
Ross Kemp. On Gangs. There's another, also in this sequence of cuts, James, there's another shot where you can see a sign on the wall that says ancient posts re-roofing 7,000 years ago.
The handmade signs there are endless.
7,000 years ago.
7,000 evidence?
Yeah.
How old is Stonehenge?
Not that old.
they did the roof of the Ram Inn before they did Stonehenge.
Mm. Of course.
Exactly.
And then the quote from someone in the crew is, I'm not getting an inviting feeling here.
It's the smell.
The weirdest, creepiest room.
I think that's Nick Groff. Yeah.
That is Groff. And then I've just put, and you might be able to help me on this, what products do we think Zach Bagans uses on his hair? Because there's a number of shots. He seems to have a lot of products. There's a lot of like...
It's like gel. It's a kind of wet look gel, isn't it?
Looks very sexy, just to say.
Right.
Have we got up to this sequence with the ley lines now, where
Or someone they go into the kitchen. The kitchen with the motorbike in the kitchen. And so many cans of big soup.
Big soup.
This man has got a problem with storage. He didn't have a wardrobe. He didn't have a single cupboard in his house. Just everything was out.
Big soup.
Quaker oats.
Quaker oats, yeah.
Quaker oats and big soup.
And
there we are. That's the big soup.
Big soup.
There's a giant mirror in that kitchen as well. Because the motorbike is being seen and the crew are being seen in a giant mirror.
Okay. I've got to say, Cleve, they don't go with a big crew. They're not followed around by a big crew.
No.
It's just Aaron, it's Nick Groff, and it's Zach Bagans. There's no big crew following them around, Cleve. He said that explicitly.
Sorry, I stand corrected.
The ley lines bit is my favourite part, basically.
Absolutely, yeah. But before they do that, it cuts to an interview with John's daughter.
Oh, yes.
And what we learn is that he divorced his wife, and my notes just says, the haunted house has turned the kids against me.
Mm.
Right, quite frankly, because there seems to be the insinuation that, first of all, because the daughter says, well, it was a bad time for my mum, and she really doesn't like thinking about it.
Mm.
And Zach goes, do you think it was the house? Do you think it was the evil spirits in the house? And she went, partially. So once again, there was an image starting to form as to what was actually going on here. And what we're seeing is basically a man who's had a very serious mental breakdown.
Mm.
Yes.
Quite frankly, because it then also cut to a 90s picture of John. And he did not have a leather jacket on in that picture.
Not me.
No.
Mr. Humphreys, we should call him.
Mr. Humphreys. Yeah. A picture of Mr. Humphreys. So I put, did we think that the leather jacket was a recent fashion addition?
Addition, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the things that keep the demons at bay, isn't it?
They then move into the kitchen.
Well, it keeps him young, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And remarkably, along with just cans and Quaker oats and everything out, Zach Bagans moves to one side, thus revealing a copy of Wham's album, Fantastic, on vinyl, just
in the kitchen.
I was like, what? What? Of all the albums in the world.
Just pop that on while you're cooking your big soup.
Just bang.
Yeah. We've basically written all the same.
Yeah, this would be like bingo.
Get Edge of Heaven.
Yeah.
It's a tune. And there, weirdly enough, there's a movie poster for the film Haunted.
Yes.
From the 1990s.
Which is based on a James Herbert novel, which ties in very nicely to
our episode. Yeah.
Gabriel Byrne and Thingy's daughter from Porridge, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale. Yeah.
I'm just looking to see if I can see an edition of Haunted on my bookshelf now, but I don't think I can.
So this is the so then we get to the ley lines part. Which is my favourite part, which is, so they've got a ley line described as going from somewhere to Stonehenge, which does go through the pub, and then they've got a ley line which goes from London to Wales, which doesn't go through the pub. and he's like, it's at the cross of the ley lines. And then he points at the map, and he's drawn a little red line underneath where the pub is to make it look like. So the line is above it. So in the scale of the map, it's probably about 10 streets away.
Yeah.
But he's drawn a line underneath where the pub is to make it look like it's at the center of the crosshairs of where the ley lines are. But it actually isn't. It's on one ley line.
And this is where he's been very indulgent to Mr. Humphreys.
Yeah. And to be honest, everywhere in Britain, because there's so many pubs and things like that, anywhere can be on a ley line in Britain.
But the whole thing with ley lines is the beginning of one of my favourite documentaries of all time, was Jimmy Savile Wizard. There's a whole thing about how the ley lines prove that he was a wizard. And
enough said, right? So
Quaker oats, ley lines,
and then there's a sequence which I thought kind of reminded me of us in a way, like Bane goes, I need to go and explore this ley line more, and so they basically just go on a day trip to Stonehenge.
For
our foreign listeners, is about a good 2.5 hours drive.
That's what I thought.
I thought, like, for the Americans that probably is like, oh, it's just down the road, that's next
just
to
down the road, yeah,
to it.
Yes.
And And I put, hooray, it's the A303, which is a road I've driven down many, many times. So it's lovely.
Quite a famous. There's a documentary about the A303, I think, isn't there? With a Morris Minor. Yeah, I like that program. Brilliant. That's good.
Yeah,
they've also just turned up at Stonehenge, but just happened to have permission to go and film within the stones, which, of course, you're not allowed to do. You can't go onto the stones anymore.
And I put Bagans allowed right up to Stonehenge. That's how much clout that
you've got. Yeah, it was a completely legitimate reason. No one read his application.
Yeah, it's a very serious documentary.
Yeah.
And then his amazing voiceover goes, being stood here in this ancient site and what have you, and the fact that it links up to the pub, and his line is, it's too coincidental to ignore.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
There's no coincidence there whatsoever.
It's probably on the same line as about another 400 pubs in Britain.
Yeah.
Because there's every village has got a pub, hasn't it? So then we visit the witch's room,
back to the pub.
Cut back to Alan T, who was taking some photos of the pub. He's taken four or five photos of a room. One of them shows a witch's face at the window.
Could you see?
No, it doesn't.
I couldn't see.
I couldn't see anything at all.
Yeah. You absolutely cannot see a face in that window.
There is no face. There is no face.
Even accounting for pareidolia, which is, when you think you see things. There's no face there whatsoever.
So, when they
highlight the area you're supposed to
see. We see several beds in this building, and he still sleeps on his dirty old couch.
His wife has left him, Cleves.
Yeah.
Was it still a going concern in terms of, could you still go and stay there overnight?
If you look on TripAdvisor, you could go to the bed and breakfast. I wouldn't want to sleep in any of those beds there, would you? Jesus.
Again, no wardrobe. There's no wardrobes anywhere in this house.
There are stuffed gorillas on the bed, though.
Yes.
Then a Brummie called Dave Williams turns up, who looks a lot like Meatloaf, and says, my son, hang on, Brummie, my son was lifted off the floor and he threw him over there.
He jumped on the bed.
He about 6 inches off the floor. It only lasted about 6 seconds, but he was scary at the time.
Basically, he jumped, yeah.
Basically, and then he went, daughter, she was stood there 1 second, next thing she know, got straight onto the bed. And amazingly, and he goes, I think she was
cover soup noddy.
I think she was possessed. And Zach Baker's actual quote is, yeah, possession, yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah.
He's unimpressed by that story.
He's been scratched many times.
Yeah.
The Trinity. Yeah. Scratched three times.
To mock the Trinity.
It ridicules the Trinity, doesn't it? There's a very good episode where Aaron, I can't remember what episode it is, but Aaron is basically scrammed on the ear by the devil. And they're driving around in like a little golf cart, filming in the middle of nowhere. And then this happens to Aaron. And then basically he's crying in this golf cart because he's been scrammed on the ear by the devil. It's just brilliant television. Then there's a bit where Mr. Humphreys pulls out a Tesco bag.
Yes!
And producers, for some reason, produces from it two horseshoes. And then says they're the horseshoes of the devil at cloven hooves.
Yeah, you don't shot a cloven hoof.
What I was going to say is the horses don't have cloven hooves, so you wouldn't have.
And there was the magnificent line from him. He went, nobody knows what that's come off of. And I just thought, I'm going to take an educated guess.
A horse.
It's a horseshoe, mate.
But it weighs differently, apparently.
But it is least likely to have come off the devil.
He's found it behind a brick in the fireplace.
Yeah, he's found it in his chimney pot. And then he pulls it out of a Tesco bag and he's like, yeah, this actually was from the devil.
14 minutes in. There is, I put 14 minutes, exclamation mark.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes.
And then my favorite bit And I sent this to you two today earlier as a picture. There's a point in which Mr. Humphreys then kind of goes, like he's being possessed.
Yeah.
Having a stroke.
It's never happened before.
Well, first off, he says, I'm used to it. Yeah. Then he says it's never happened before.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
And as the camera tracks Rat, there is a staircase leading from that room to one of the upper floors. One of the signs just says, mind head. Please mind your head. Just mind head.
But
then I noticed, I was like, wait a minute, let me just run that back a second. There's another sign underneath it. What does that say? And as far as I can make out, it says closed by huge fat women. Or when I look back at it for a second time, it could possibly say closed by nice fat women. Have a look again at the picture. Click on it and zoom in. Going,
could have been Bella Enberg.
Oh, well, the roly polies.
And the roly polies.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute. Maybe it was just the angle. But then it kind of cuts to Bagans and then it cuts back to John Humphreys again and the signs are gone.
Oh, really?
Which made me think, I wonder if someone went, guys, you got to take that down.
We better take that down.
Now pretend you're being possessed.
Just the game.
Yeah. Let's go from the top. You're being possessed. Yeah. So I've written, is he dying? So James, you thought he was having a stroke. I said, is he dying? What did you think, please?
Obviously possessed.
Oh, okay.
And then Zach gets a headache, doesn't he?
Mm. Yes, Zach gets an awful headache.
Is this before or after what's his name? Mr. Humphreys just grabbed the number 10 people were possessed and had to be exercised.
After that.
Yeah.
After
10 of the people here.
Yeah. He looked surprised that he said it when he said it.
Yes.
10? And Bagans again, astonished. He just can't get his head around it. And then after that, capital letters from me again, enter Lady Snake.
Lady Snake.
Oh, yeah.
And I've just got to say, RIP Lady Snake at this point. Yeah.
Because just in case you don't know, this is how we got on to talking about this episode in the first place. John was talking about his memories last time of seeing Lady Snake, who with virtually no introduction whatsoever, cut to the pub. Lady Snake.
What are you laughing at, Cleve?
This is the fact that she just did turn up. There was no preamble.
We had to call a witch or anything like that. It just cuts through. Bang, there she is.
Whoa. Lady Snake.
Like, and how would she say she's dressed? She's wearing like a cape? Like a green cape?
It's quite hard to describe. A bit like She-Ra.
Or Aleister Crowley, I would say.
She-Ra crossed with Aleister Crowley. Lady Snake becomes a recurring character through Ghost Adventures history.
Oh.
And she does visit Zach Bagan's haunted museum later on in Ghost Adventures history and has a face-off with another witch, which is absolutely mental. I've no idea. I can't remember when this comes up. They do an episode where all these people come to his haunted museum in Los Angeles, in Las Vegas, I think it is.
Should we go to his haunted museum in Las Vegas one day?
When we've made more money from this podcast. Patreon.
Yeah.
If you want to sponsor us to go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, we didn't get enough money to buy the Mr. Blobby outfit on eBay. So we're going to have to go to the haunted museum.
Yeah, so he invites loads of telepaths and, you know, wizards and people to his haunted museum. And then there's a sequence where this guy is having, I think this guy is having like a face-off with Bela Lugosi's mirror and faints. But I think there's also a bit where there's a face-off between Lady Snake and another witch, which is very exciting. Utters the immortal couple of lines. Well, one's a word and one's a line. Elemental gnomes.
Yes.
She also says, instead of specifically, she says one of my favourites, which is pacifically, which I absolutely love.
She also fluffs another thing she was meant to be.
But then she says, Zach, you aren't yourself. I'm going to have to take this knife off you because they're doing some kind of rite to bring spirits out of a chimney, it seems.
Yeah. So they've, but then they hear like a growl or something coming from the chimney when it happens.
Yeah.
One of the thing I noticed while they were doing these rites, they were walking around in bare feet on the disgusting, dirty carpet in this place, which I was like, that was more terrifying to me than
all that tetanus. Yeah.
And then he lays down on the disgusting floor.
He does,
But before we get there, Ross, before we get to the legend, my favorite bit was she says, in order to bring them out of the spirits, I've had to offer them up something in return, and I've offered them you.
Yeah.
And she then adds to the epithet, I'm sorry, but I have. And I was just like, hang on. I didn't ask for that.
Well, they have an argument then, don't they?
Yes.
About very well.
So Aaron doesn't want to join in, does he, really, at this point?
No.
But I did notice at this point that you could see a breath in there.
Yes.
Which I thought, there's no way in post they're going to be able to put that in.
Oh, yeah, because I was wondering, when was this filmed? Because it didn't look cold.
It doesn't look cold, but you could really see a breath. And then she says, you can see my breath.
And they start showing their goose pimples on their arms.
Yeah.
But old stone buildings can...
It's a dust... Yeah, I was about to say, it's an old thousand-year-old building in England in the winter. Mm. It's going to be cold. I doubt there's any...
I don't know, James. I don't know. I found this a very, very overwhelming proof of... Okay. On the other side. So Zach is taken over, isn't he, at this point? He's lying on the floor.
Well, he says he is,
He doesn't seem to act any differently, besides the fact he says that Aaron looks really weird.
It looks like LSD has just kicked in.
Yeah, well, the other episode that we did as a bonus,
yes,
when we did the one about the Skinwalker Ranch.
Yes, if you're a patron, you can listen to that. If you're not, £3 a month, go and get it.
Do we think in that episode that they had taken some kind of mind-altering substances? Yeah,
I think he drops something when he goes into these places.
Because there's a very strange sequence where Zach threatens Jay Wozley with a samurai sword.
Yeah.
Which has to be seen to be believed. Really? When they've put on the ultrasound or whatever, it's not ultrasound, subsound or whatever it's called. Not the ultrasound. They're not doing a scan for a pregnant baby. Not a pregnant baby, pregnant lady.
Yeah. I did find this episode much more coherent than the one we watched last time.
Yes.
I feel like... I don't know if the Skinwalker one is a much later episode.
It is, yeah.
Whereas that had no narrative at all. It was just stuff happening.
It's amazing though, isn't it?
It was, but it was like almost too much. Whereas this, it kind of, there was a bit more structure.
Yes, I also don't know if often they're edited down to just fit a slot and the original ones are a lot longer, because this one is only 40 minutes long for an hour long slot with adverts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if some of them are like much longer in America. I've no idea. There's a good bit now where so basically this thing is happening. She's trying to summon something. You don't actually know what she's trying to summon. And then she gets to the fear of it and she says, please protect Lady Snake.
Yes.
And I whenever anyone refers to themselves in the third person, I do worry slightly at
particularly
that point.
If they're using it like a made up name for themselves.
Yeah, and a massive dagger. And they've got a massive dagger.
Yeah.
I like the fact that I've just put balls to the rest of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes, I'm getting into my altar.
I get in my order, and I couldn't resist it. At one point, one of them goes, "You're forcing me to go to hell." Flashback. I thought that feels like a night out with Ross. Until Jay goes, I was like,
"Yeah,
forcing me to go to hell."
Oh, you love it.
Sorry, thank
you. One-eared farmers. I'm just going to Google Lady Snake.
Well, I had a
Lady Snake passed away.
Yes.
Yes.
Apparently, the Lady Snake versus the Witch was during the Halloween special.
Which year?
I don't know, but I guess if you just put Halloween special into the search, they can't be too many of them.
Mm.
Right. But anyway, there you go. Yes.
There she is.
Yeah.
What a lovely typography on that.
Look at Cleaver reflected in the...
Yeah. I'm going to be trapped in some kind of Neverworld now.
So after this, there is this kind of feeling of, this ceremony comes to an end. And the quote from Zach Bagans is, we've done the ultimate extreme. And I thought, not low, is it? You've laid down in an old pub.
I wouldn't lay down in there.
You wouldn't.
No.
So we're now building up to the big finale of the episode.
The lock-in.
Yeah.
Lock-in, as we understand it in this country, which is, it doesn't seem to happen so much anymore, but then again, maybe I don't drink in pubs so much anymore. In the good old days, if you were in a pub and the evening was going well with a few noted regulars, landlords would literally say, okay, last orders is done, and then lock the doors, and then say, right, okay, we're having a lock-in, so we're just going to keep serving you until everyone's done.
Mm.
They were almost mythical things. Oh, I was in a
lock-in. Never had one.
Yeah, that's right, but I don't think they happen so much anymore. Anyway.
They happen in Wareham, apparently, a lot.
a lot goes on in Wareham, Ross, apparently. Right, so before, as we build to like the lock-in, we then meet Mr. Humphrey's grandson.
Oh,
and I put, Mark is amazing.
Yeah. He steals the show, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Right. So for a lot of people, and again, for our international listeners, he speaks with the broadest West Country accent.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Right? So it's like a lot of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you're mad doing this, you fuckers. There's a lot of that going on.
And he calls his granddad by his first name, which is interesting. And he's like, we've been here drinking with, what's his name, John? And
John. Yeah. We've seen stuff on the stairs.
Yeah, he saw
and the... It was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And the follow-up question should be, what did it look like? But it was not just go, oh, okay. Right, we're going to go in there now.
Do you think I'm going to see the incubus? And then he says, well, Rick, you will. And I put, don't ask Mark to spell incubus, though. Yeah. He would have struggled.
Oh, God.
I'm being really harsh tonight.
Yes. And then as they're going in, Mr. Humphries just says, you idiot. And I've got to say that all of this is edited for laughs, isn't it?
He gets mixed up and goes in the house when he's meant to be leaving.
And so Vegas is like, Mr. Humphries, we're the ones getting locked down in there. Yeah. It's really well made.
At that point, I thought, like, this man has obviously got mental health issues.
Yes.
He's a hoarder. They probably sent him to a Premier Inn or something, and he probably hated it. He probably wanted to sleep on his couch and probably slept on the floor, you know, missing his incubus.
What are we going to do if Zach Bagans listens to this?
Well, hopefully he'll invite us to Las Vegas.
Zach, okay. Yeah, you know, be careful with
laughing at his trousers. No. Yeah. What we've said is, you know, this has been remarkable.
Yeah, we love this program.
Yeah, Mr. Bagans, I think this is a very slickly edited piece of television.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And I'd like to accept your offer of a holiday in your haunted museum. Well, I think that they should, the Skirrid Inn, for instance, Ghost Adventures never did the Skirrid Inn, which is very haunted. I have that on good authority. Did I mention the Irish episode at the start?
Yes, but you didn't go into any detail.
That's an amazing one where Zach Bagans really can't understand the Irish accent. And the guy is saying horse and cart. And Zach Bagans is going, horse cart. Horse cart? Horse cart. And the guy's going, horse and cart. Horse and cart. And he's going, horse and cart? Horse and cart. Oh! Horse and cart, and then he gets it, and it's brilliant. It's really, really good.
So before the night begins, Bagans then gives us a summary of what we've seen so far. He says,
yes.
Ley lines.
Yeah.
Pit. Which is the pit. We didn't even get into the pit.
Yeah, the hole in the middle of the man's house.
Yeah. He's giving you all that, and then he just says amazingly, a photo of a witch by a guy called Alan.
Close up of the photo, which doesn't show any kind of witch.
And then, and then we're into the night itself. And once again, as Ross has already mentioned, Zach says, I decided to lay in John's bed, as that's where most of the things have, you know, kind of happened to him.
And I said, this is
surely the bravest thing the man has ever done. Yeah.
I wouldn't get in that bed.
He didn't look very comfortable about it. And he's such a man mountain. He's bottom legs of his legs. I do love Zach Bagans. Does it even fit in the bed?
No. So at this point, the investigation starts, and it does get a little bit boring, at this point. I have written two quotes, I don't like you, and also, we're from America, which I thought was a really good reason. Yeah. It was a reason for the ghosts to show themselves, because we're from America.
Yeah, and if they do some real extreme stuff, they can go back to the American ghosts and tell them how much better the British ones are than that. Right.
We'll get on to that in a second. But the other thing that really struck me is they said, we turned on our EMF detectors. And of course, I immediately thought... That's what should be coming through.
I can remember jumping up and down on my bed so much to this. I'm just getting so sweaty.
I remember a girl called Mary Musson who went on my school bus, was obsessed with them, and I were like, they're shit. That was 33 years ago now, I think, that record, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had it on 7-inch single.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then unfortunately, in both detecting the band EMF They fail. And also, there's not an awful lot that comes up on the older EMF detector.
No, well, they do a few EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, but it's just things like, I don't like you, or fuck off, or, you know, it's not like...
A lot of the time, they'll go like, what was that noise? I just thought, that's just a creaky old building in England, mate.
You're in a building... You're in a building which is twice as old as your entire country.
The roof's 7,000 years old.
And then, yes, as Ross said, that we then they would kind of all get together in
the room,
the one that was supposed to have the devil in it.
And that's very odd.
But they say, he says, come on, show yourselves to us. Do you want us to go back to America and say the British ghosts are insane? That is the weirdest flex. Like, come on. Patriotism doesn't shift many of us at the best of times. But the notion of there being a ghost who goes, I'm not having American ghosts, not thinking we're good. Scare the shit out of these guys.
Yeah, even though
I don't want American ghosts thinking less of
these ghosts wouldn't know what America is.
Well, I was going to say, they probably date from pre-America, don't they?
There was a bit where he saw a shadow...
Shadow figure.
Okay, I saw nothing. Did anyone see?
It was just a very quick frame of like shadow, wasn't it? It wasn't a figure at all, yes. I don't think. You do see in later series of Ghost Adventures, you do see much more equivocal evidence of shadow figures. One on a boat, I think there's one on like a, they investigate a big navy ship they see, I think they see a figure there, which is quite good. But no, I don't think they see anything at all in this. But then there's like an epilogue where they're filming themselves in like a ruined house with a wet floor, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they're like,
yes,
a witch followed us. And the next day after we filmed, like a witch was following me with like long hair and...
Yeah, and scratched his neck. He did look particularly beefy in that shot as well. I think it was the t-shirt he was wearing. And then
James just looks tired.
Because what I'm doing, Noel, I'm always tired. That's all right. What I'm doing is I have, just to round it all off, is of course, naturally, my thoughts as watching this was, is the ancient Ramin still a going concern?
Yeah, here we
Ross has already told us that unfortunately Mr. Humphreys is no longer with us.
But lived for another like 8 years after this point.
So 2017, I think he died.
How old was he at that point?
He was in his 90s. I've seen some pictures on TripAdvisor of him with like shocking white hair, but wearing the same jacket.
Mr. Trevor's vibes going on.
Yeah, apparently it got so much stuff in there, you could hardly move with all this stuff he was hoarding. But apparently you could go in there and he would give you a whole tour and he would refuse money for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's just that Google tells us the following things. First of all, it tells us that it's open 24 hours a day, which I honestly find hard to believe. Set up at 3 o'clock in the morning, see how well you get on, right? And then it also says that it is LGBTQ+ friendly.
Nice.
Good. And it identifies as woman-owned.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if
maybe it's his daughter.
I think that's the daughter, isn't it? Yeah. If you look on Facebook, it's run by the daughter and you can go there for like £40 a night. And there's something, the daughter is trying to do some kind of crowdfunder. So she does readings of her father's 1974 diary, which sounds a bit niche. So, yeah, but I think that we should definitely try and go there because it can't be far from any of us, can it?
Well, one of the notes I broke is someone will suggest that we go here.
And that someone is me.
Yeah,
well, it's great. That's good. And what I'm seeing is, I just thought, okay, let's just have a look at some of the Google reviews. And of course, lots of them are just things like, oh, fantastic, spooky event. But one of them is from this guy and he gives it 3 out of 5 stars. And it says, first visit to the ancient Ram Inn, and we've seen amazing reports from here.
Whoa.
Maybe that was the problem. We had a few occasions when things just started to happen, but didn't really amount to anything, as there seemed to be a lack of energy within our group. Which is the weirdest review.
You were there with some sad sacks who didn't believe.
Yeah. What I read was a 5-star review that said, how do you rate a private house? And the fact that he just showed them all around and refused money, eventually they managed to give him a fiver to buy a drink. But they said it was quite hard to get around the place because of all of his stuff.
Oh, God.
The tags for the reviews say ghost hunting, history, building, night, pub, owner, beautiful. Sacrifice. Atmosphere. Burial.
Oh, Jesus.
Atmosphere by Ross Abbott.
Abbott, yes, right. That's what plays.
So it's 1 hour, 52 minutes from Dorchester, and it's an hour from Treforest.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's not that bad, is it?
Is that if we follow the ley lines from both directions?
Yeah.
We were there.
Well, yeah, the ley lines come from Wales, don't they? Yeah. Like you said.
And our friends at Staffordshire Paranormal Explorers, some would say Staffordshire's premier paranormal explorers, said one of the UK's most haunted locations, and it didn't disappoint when we investigated here.
Whoa.
In the bishop's room, we got lots of unexplained noises and activity on our devices, and in the attic, some brilliant spirit box responses.
Ooh, we'll have to get that app back on my phone.
Yeah.
Full investigation at the Ancient Ram Inn is on our YouTube channel.
I'm kind of tempted to watch that.
Me too.
Well, yes. Most Haunted did go there as well, but I haven't watched that episode.
Most Haunted went there as well?
Yeah, so there's the Most Haunted
one. No way, a crossover.
Yeah, and also there was some kind of Danish ghost.
Oh, yes, I saw that. Yeah.
Ghost show.
I didn't watch it, but I saw that on Wikipedia. Mm.
Sorry to interrupt, Ross here, just doing a quick plug. Did you know that we do a range of General Witchfinders t-shirts? Go to generalwitchfinders.com, buy a shirt and help support the show. Thanks. Cool. So, I don't know how we can rate this, but we're going to rate this out of 5.
It's high, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I mean...
entertainment value, I think we're going to have to go on.
Yeah. Does it need its own classification?
Yeah. Just entertainment out of 5 stars, it gets up to 4.
No,
4.
Yeah, and for me, 4 for me as well.
Yeah, well, it's a 4. 4 all round. It's
wow. Good.
It's going to be up there.
Been some more wild stuff.
Yeah.
But once again, there won't be, because there are no...
The first half an hour is up there with the best television. Forget The Sopranos. Forget The Wire. Forget... Kenneth Clark's Civilization, What You Want, forget Dimbleby, first half an hour of season 2, episode 8, was it?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Season 2, episode 8 of Ghost Adventures, it is up there with the best television you've ever seen. It's better than Grange Hill.
Oh, I don't know, I'm watching Grange Hill at the moment. And,
really?
Yeah.
What year are you up to?
We've got up to, Zamo is about to reveal that he's on drugs, and Danny Kendall's just burnt down the old building by smoking in the...
Found in the back of the Mr. Bronson's Maestro.
Oh, yeah, yes. Well, the kids don't know that's coming, but
Of course they don't.
No.
There we are. So it's a solid 4 out of 5 across the board for that.
Yeah.
So where does that slot in, please?
So what does that, 3 fours, 12, 16, let's have a look.
3 fours is 12, not 16.
Is it? Ross, did you just say, is it?
You went 3 fours is 12, 16.
Hang on.
Broken Britain.
Hang on. So all of our scoring is broken because Cleaver's added 3 fours is 12, 16.
No, go on.
Extra points for ladies.
Okay, so it scores the same as Night of the Demon.
Yeah.
Oh, it's better than that.
What else does it say? It's roughly the same as Ghost Watch.
It's better than that.
Yeah.
It's better than that.
And it's got same as a Stone Tape. We've got the same score as Stone Tape.
Yeah, I think it's on that. I think the first 30 minutes is on that part. The investigation part isn't very strong. But for the sheer... The first time you watch this, it's so mad, you can't get over it, can you? Because the bloke comes out, Mr. Humphreys comes out, and you're just like, this is the most British thing. Yeah, we called him Simon at the time. And he comes out, and you're just like, look at this dude. He is absolutely... There is no country on earth besides England that could birth this creation.
You can harvest this man.
Yeah.
You talk to him for ages, John.
I'd love to talk to him. As a child, I spent so much time in places like this with my dad, where we'd go to farms and dad would visit people to deliver them chickens. And we'd go into these places and they'd have like derelict cars outside, and we'd go in and they'd have a parrot and they'd sit there and they'd be people from like they look like they come from Victorian times.
Reminded me of my dad taking me somewhere once at a farm, and it was a stunt man who did a fall off of basically, this guy had like a crane in his garden and he did like high fall onto like a big inflatable thing. And apparently, there was a film about a raid on an embassy.
Iran embassy, yeah. 1981.
Yeah, this stuntman was in that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right. Anyway, sorry. I interrupted, but you just had a flashback to that.
No, it's just, it's like, I just remember meeting people like this in my childhood, and you'd just be like,
We are becoming really. People like this. I think that's the problem.
Well, I already am. Look at the state of me.
I was speaking my house. If I just stopped cleaning it, it would just look like that place.
Just hang some leather jackets up.
Without the UKIP paraphernalia.
Yeah. Tins of big soup. I tried some big soup once, and it really messed with my IBS, and I felt like I'd taken acid. It was awful. So maybe that's what's happened to this guy. He's just been eating big soup, and he's just like seeing things.
Hi, it's Ross from the General Witchfinders. Did you know that I also do another podcast with my friend David?
Hello. Well, my headphones are falling off. You're not taking this seriously, Ross.
David and I do our own supernatural research and investigations in our home county of Dorset. So, if you think that's up your street, why don't you give it a listen? It's Dark Darset, D-A-R-Z-E-T. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not that.
Now, something horrific. Have we seen, done, read anything since Christmas? Because that's the last time we all saw each other, wasn't it?
So we recently, I've been watching the Fistful of Dollars trilogy. I watched the film that is based on, which is Yojimbo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of many different shades of masculinity there. And then Hel said, we want to watch this thing. She wants to watch this thing called Men, which is a film by Alex Garland, Cleaver had said he had watched and thought was good.
Mm.
So I was like, yeah, okay, stick it on. It's hard to talk about without giving it away.
Yes.
Mm.
It's on a scale of 1 to 10 out of mental, I'd say it's probably a good 11.
Yeah.
It was sold to me as being folk horror, which I don't think it is.
It's got a sheen and a gig in it.
It has, but those aspects of it are like a BBC children's drama from 1990, aren't they? Yeah. The way that's shot and stuff.
Mm.
It's a very, very interesting take on toxic masculinity.
That's interesting, because you seem quite anti it when I mentioned it, because, it's new, I'm not going to watch it.
I had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
So Hel said, it's folk horror. I said, I will give it a go. It starts being one thing, but I think, for me, the setting and the characters in it, really, it's so hard to talk about without giving it away, isn't it? One actor plays all the male roles. You've got Jesse Buckley, who is very good as the kind of main protagonist of it. And then, because you can't say he's the main protagonist because he's playing lots of different roles, so it's quite hard to kind of
break it down.
He's astonishingly good in it.
And fearless, I think.
Yeah, and very horrible, creepy roles. And then you think, that he was in... He did Mark Gatiss's The Mezzotint around the same time.
Yes.
And he's done something else quite ghostly as well recently, which I forget. So I think he must have had a really weird year that year.
Beck was very surprised it was written and directed by a man.
Hel thought that was very interesting as well. And super thought-provoking film. It's obviously to do with toxic masculinity. It's to do with unwanted attention from men. It's a very interesting horror film. All you can describe it as is a horror film. I didn't think it was very folk horror. And that kind of is a shield that it hides under, really, to kind of... The main impetus of the story is not folk horror, but the kind of trappings of it are folk horror, aren't they?
The only bit that felt folky horror to me was that... It was very impressive, was when she goes out for a walk... That boy, when she goes out for the walk and finds the abandoned train
line. That was the tunnel from The Signalman. I was like,
yeah, it's very similar, isn't it? Yeah.
And then her being followed home. And
yes.
What happens to her the next day, which I think was unbelievably, kind of unset. How he
shoots
was extremely unsettling. And
cleverly.
And it was
Very, very strange ending as well.
The ending for me was a disappointment to a certain extent because I wanted more of a resolution.
Mm.
But that's not to say that the ending won't kind of blow your mind because you'll just be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. And it just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah. So I would really recommend people watch it.
On Amazon,
Yes, I streamed it from Amazon. What people actually make of it, I've no idea. It reminded me in parts a bit of Ghost Story, is it called? There's the kid in the tunnel as well. But in terms of, from that point on, then it just goes into like Cloud Cuckoo Land, doesn't it? Because it just, yeah, it's not parts of it. The kind of atmosphere of it really reminded me slightly of Stigma, where things are happening to characters and you kind of like the way they're responding to what's happening to them is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, in Stigma, where the woman is bleeding and she just kind of carries on, and it's like, you wouldn't just carry on at this point. You'd ring the doctor, or, you know, it's just.
Yeah, she doesn't react to the fact it's the same man.
No, at all. So you're just kind of like, what? And that does urge you to question the narrative. Mm. And I think it's really clever in that way. And it's a really good film. I mean, I'd give it a good 7 out of 10, but I just thought that in terms of a film narrative, what I often think with horror films, they've had a really good idea, but they haven't quite worked out a good ending.
Mm.
Yes.
And it ends and you're just, and the ending is a bit like, ambiguous ending, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, I just want an ending.
Well, I was quite disappointed with it, but then afterwards I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, I think I've read something just saying that with grief, it doesn't go away. Grief never goes away. You just have to learn to live with it. And I think it was also the whole idea of like, the male world is not going to go away. You're going to just have to learn to live with it. So I think that's what it was at the end. I've spoiled it for everyone that, but you know, it was.
You haven't, because you haven't said what happened.
No,
it needed a more resolved ending, where I always like someone to just be the hero and be like, yes, like, you know, when it's Ripley in the end of Aliens, if you ignore the other Alien films, she's like, yes, she's killed everyone, she's on her way home, or, you know, whatever. Whereas with this, it was just a bit like, oh, that's the end then. But yeah,
I would just very quickly say that I really, Alex Garland's adaptation of
Annihilation
is one of my favourite films of the last 20 years.
Okay.
Genius. And I think that, John, ends with a really clever ambiguous ending.
Oh, right.
It leaves you with a like,
I need to watch that again now. Yeah. I know what it is.
If you've seen John Carpenter's version of The Thing.
Yes.
And, you know, like, at the end, the whole, like, well, what's... And that whole thing of, are they really them? Or is
there's
a bit of that. And whereas in that film, the whole question of the film is about identity and things. So it resolves itself brilliantly. And I think they probably just thought, or possibly thought, that's quite effective. I'll look to finish my, you know, another film with a... What do you think's just happened?
Yeah.
I got Annihilation, the novel here, James. Is it worth reading?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
In short, yes.
All right,
he takes it in a very different direction but that's we won't get into that now because people have listened to this for long enough. And I will just say my one very quickly. This is something that if you live in the United Kingdom, or if you have access to, you know, any dodgy it might be on Spotify, I don't know. But basically, the BBC did a live version of Uncanny. It's a podcast that's done by a kind of horror maestro du jour, Danny Robbins, who is the man behind 222, starring horrible racist Cheryl Cole. Well, then again, apparently she...
Is she in it?
Yeah.
Good God. I had no idea.
She injured herself, so she's actually not in it at the moment. That's an unlikely excuse. Anyway, moving swiftly on, you can cut that bit out, Ross, if you want. He did obviously like some from a podcast live weekend or something like that. He did a live version of Uncanny with hero of the show and Mark Gatiss. Okay, so I always say it wrong. And just the two of them talking about Danny Robbins got people to submit their own spooky stories, and they just spoke about them live. And what I did was, I think I did it the right way. I listened to it in bed with the lights off.
Yeah.
While good. I was going to.
Oh, amazing.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
And Gatiss's story from when he was a student is just fantastically creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it really good. Made me go.
Yeah, it's on BBC Sounds. Yeah, it's good.
A little bit. Yeah,
there was some really good stuff on over Christmas, and that was one key for me. And the one where with Mark and Richard Coles as well,
yeah,
going out and about was very good as well on BBC Sounds.
Good, yeah.
I'm sure it must still be on BBC Sounds.
Yeah, yeah, that was good. Inside Number 9 Christmas special was good.
We haven't done the inside. We should do that and Count Magnus separately somehow, mm-hmm, shouldn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because what? Very briefly, out of 10, how did you rate Count Magnus?
2. I thought it was the worst one they've done, personally.
Whoa. James, what did you think?
I gave it a solid 7.
I was 7 or 8, definitely.
The painting of Count Magnus, I thought, looks a lot, and Kirsty and I said, it looks a lot like Danny Trejo.
Yeah, I think a few people have said that. Yeah. I've watched it like 3 times now, and I thought it was great. I thought the guy who's in it, whose name I've forgotten, his performance was amazing.
He was fantastic. He's a brilliant actor. Have you seen the thing where he plays the guy who got wrongly accused?
Lionel Jeffries.
Yeah. Fantastic.
No, but yeah. God, he was mental, wasn't
he's
he?
Brilliant.
I knew exactly what Ross was saying.
Yeah. So maybe we should do another tacked on episode at some point where we can talk about this. Because there was some nice... I was thinking of tweeting about this and then I forgot, but I was thinking it's nice to see that someone or some people are bringing back a creepy Victoriana element to Christmas. Because I'm so sick of people in matching pyjamas, people in Christmas jumpers, the fucking Coca-Cola lorry, and all that bullshit. And that, to me, isn't Christmas. Christmas, to me, is the intro of the Box of Delights, where it's... and then it goes really... Yeah. And then it turns into a synthesizer, and it goes really creepy. And that's, to me, is like Victorian women, but, you know, toasting nuts. And you know, ghost stories and stuff.
Yeah.
Not rampant commercialism, which it is now. You know, Black Friday and all that bullshit.
Mm.
So I, you know, I'm really pleased that people like Mark Gatiss are bringing that back on that bombshell.
Yeah. Well, I would say The Night House. It's directed by the guy who did Ritual, the film we saw, James. We did on
fucking hell
with Ray Spalling, and it's also he also went on to direct the new Hellraiser.
Jesus Christ.
But it's a woman whose husband killed himself, and so she's sort of mourning that she lives in this lovely house which he built. And then when she's packing away his stuff, she finds like the book with all the plans in it, and then he sees that there's also plans for like a mirror version of their house. And then at night she sees a light on the other side of the lake, and when she goes around there's a half built mirror version of her house.
Well, that's a good idea.
And then, you know, then she finds pictures on his phone, which she goes, well, that's me, but I don't own those clothes. So it's a very good film.
And what's it called?
It's called The Night House.
Where can I see that, Cleves?
I think it's on Disney Plus, but you might be able to rent it somewhere. But it's very good, and there's a bit in it which is like, whoa, that's creepy. So I recommend that.
Okay.
Okay, well, all I need to do now is reveal what we're watching next time.
Well, I've seen it says on the script.
Yes, the next time we'll be watching. Oh, I forgot what it is.
Quatermass and the Pit.
Quatermass and the Pit, the Hammer version. So we'll be doing a bit of sci-fi. We have a lot of people who want us to do more Quatermass, and so we're going back to Quatermass. Yes,
I love Quatermass.
Yeah.
Yes, I went to see this in the cinema on the big screen. I can't remember when, and it was really lovely to see it projected massive. It's great.
Fantastic. Well, until then, happy day.
Thank you for listening, everyone. Stay safe.
Love, light, and peace.
You have been listening to The General Witchfinders. Support the show and continue the conversation at patreon.com/generalwitchfinders. Subscribe and spread the word at generalwitchfinders.com. Farewell, and don't have nightmares.
thing is, though, people listen to stuff and they expect that they come over and start talking about things you talked about a year ago. And you're like, apparently, I said in a podcast once that I get a bit, I was a bit worried about mushrooms growing in my ear or something. Anyway, someone at work came up and shoved a mushroom in my ear. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And he wouldn't stop trying to do it. And I was going, what?
Yeah.
And then he was going, the mushrooms crazy in your ear. I go, what are you talking about? You know, yeah.
Oh, dear God.